We will talk about Tampa Bay and Dallas, but we're not going to first, because why would we do that when we can speculate about the Maple Leafs? What is the latest on the Alex Pietrangelo St. Louis Blues situation? And is there any way we can make this relate to our market, to Toronto?
Yes, I think you can do that one pretty easily. By the way, the next time you open up your crazy neighbor's text line, it'll be, this guy turns every conversation into the Maple Leafs. That'll be...
It's Ziggy's crazy neighbor. Yeah. My neighbors are wonderful.
Oh, okay. No, I want to know what they think of you.
Yeah, exactly.
But they hear me yelling through the walls at my TV at 9:45 every night. They probably don't like me much now that I think about it.
The negotiation, I always say with the caveat that everything can change with one phone call or one Zoom meeting. The negotiation has not gone easily. It's been a problem, and I think Pietrangelo is upset at the way it's gone. There was an offer a long time ago that was somewhere in the neighborhood of Oliver Ekman-Larsson's deal. Oliver Ekman-Larsson's contract is 8x825. I don't think it was exactly that, but it was around that. And there was also another offer a couple weeks ago, and there's a rumor that, the Blues said, hey, things have changed, COVID, and it wasn't what Pietrangelo would consider a great offer. And I think he's frustrated. I think he's unhappy that he hasn't gotten signed. I believe that, he kind of looks at it like, hey, you took care of Braden Schenn, fine, but then you acquired two guys, Justin Falk and Marco Scandella, and extended them quickly. How come my situation has been much more difficult? So I think he's upset. It doesn't mean it won't get done, but it's become an extra challenge. I have no doubt the Blues are going to try to offer him again before we get to free agency on the 9th. But it's a bigger challenge. And if Pietrangelo gets to the market, there's no question that Toronto's going to be in the game. But as part of that, Toronto, if they do get them, they're going to have to make some moves to clear some space.
What number do you think he was worth before COVID hit, Elliot? And what number do you think he would settle for now with the Blues for him to go back?
Honestly, Mike, I don't know if one has anything to do with the other. It's funny you say that, because I had a conversation with someone, and it was an agent. I think that's relevant to the conversation. And I was talking to him about it, and I said, look, there's not a lot of cash out there. I do think teams are going to be really careful about bonuses. The Edmondson contract in Montreal had some bonuses, but not a lot. And they're more down the line as opposed to now. I think teams are being really careful with that. And I said, you have to think that these teams are going to be a lot more careful, and there's not a ton of cash. And then, Brodin got a big deal, $42 million. Now, I think Pietrangelo's will be bigger than that. But he got a big deal, $42 million. Edmondson got $14 million. And this agent texted me back, and he says, this COVID excuse is BS. If they want to give you the money, they'll give you the money. So, it's an interesting perspective. I don't think it's BS. I think it's real. But I understand the point that he was trying to make. I think Pietrangelo will look at it like, you still have to spend a certain amount of money here. And I'm worthy of a decent chunk of it, so I don't know how much of it has changed. I think the other thing that's happened here too, Mike, is that he's been great for the Blues. He's been their captain. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot of great things for them. He was a critical player on a team that won a Stanley Cup. I think that now we've gotten into the emotional territory of, I think I've earned the right to be treated better than this. And I think when that comes in, it affects the whole thing.
Do we just assume, Elliot, that the Leafs would be hard in on Pietrangelo if he does end up hitting unrestricted free agency? Like, they wouldn't just sniff around and make the appropriate calls, but that they would be aggressive here?
I think they would be. I think there's two paths that they can really follow here if they want to do free agency. They can go out and they can, if he is available, they can aggressively go after him, which I think they would be interested in doing. I think the thing that becomes the question, though, is if Pietrangelo doesn't sign in St. Louis, you can only give him 7 years, not eight, unless you work a sign and trade. So is Pietrangelo going to say, I lose 1 year that I can get, so you got to make up for it in a salary? Like, I think there's a limit to what Toronto can and will be able to do. And, or, you know, Toronto can say, okay, you know, we really want this, but, you know, we can't make it work. So in free agency, do we go out and we get two guys? Because I do think that Toronto is going to address its blue line. It's a high priority, if not the number one priority. And they're not coming back. Well, obviously they can't, because there's some free agents that they don't want to bring back. But I don't think there's interest in coming back with the same group. They're going to change their blue line mix. So if it's free agency, it's either one big guy like him, or maybe they try to get two guys that they can plug in at smaller numbers.
Leafs bringing on Manny Malhotra now as the assistant coach. I'm not too surprised at that. I think it's a good fit. Mm-hmm. I would have been surprised if it would have been Boudreau, and nothing against him. It's just, I feel like that would have been a strange fit with an experienced head coach going to an assistant, and then with Keith, you know, being this young guy coming in, up and comer. How do you think he will change the Leafs, Elliot, if at all different than what's happened the last couple of years?
Well, I think the one thing about Malhotra is that I did a big piece a couple months ago, Mike, on the 2011 Canucks. And you know, everybody on that team I reached out to, and they were close to 30 people, agreed to talk. Malhotra was the only one who didn't. And I understand why. That was a tough year for him, because that's when he suffered the eye injury. But the way they talked about him was just basically reverential, the respect they had for him. And Alain Vigneault told a story about the day they called him on to try to bring him in as a free agent. And they held a conference call with him. And Malhotra said to them, "If I don't want to come to this team if I can't be honest about what's going on. Like, can your players take honest criticism, or do you have to sugarcoat things?" And Vigneault said, "You're not going to have a problem with that here." And it was true. And that's the one thing. Like, Malhotra didn't want to go anywhere where he couldn't honestly say what he thought. And Kevin BX had told a story to me that he said again last night on television that, you know, they'd go into the intermission and he would get up and say things like, "Okay, forwards, what do you need from the defense? And then defense, what do you need from the forwards?" And I think he'd ask the goalies too, I'm not sure. But he would say that to each other. And so, you know, the players would say things and he would walk up to the board and say, "Okay, this is what we're going to do." And he'd put things on the board. And then Vigneault would walk in and he'd see what Malhotra had done and he'd say, "Okay, let's go play." And I think that he's a big personality. He's quiet about it. He kind of talks softly but carries the big stick, Teddy Roosevelt kind of thing. But, you know, he's got a powerful voice, and he's committed to, you know, he's been very committed to the defensive end of the ice, face-off, things like that. He's a detail-oriented guy. And, you know, you're an assistant coach, Mike. I think that, you know, detail is very important when you're in that position. And I just think, you know, everything I know about Malhotra is he focuses on the right things. He approaches things the right way. And he's not afraid to say the things that need to be said. And I think when you're in a position of authority, but he does it also in a way that is understanding of the player. And when you're in a position of authority, I think that's important.
Elliot Friedman is our guest on Leadoff, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So the word is out that Kyle Clifford, Elliot, is going to test free agency.
Yeah.
Is this a combination of the fact that the Leafs are prioritizing the blue line, there is a flat cap, and Kyle is a fourth-line guy who may be valued in the high hundreds of thousands of dollars by one team, but maybe want to go out and look around and see if he can't get a mil five or something from another team? Is it simply that? Because obviously the Leafs would like a player like Clifford and what he brings.
Yes, I would bet that it's something like that, that they can't agree on the number. I do think that the Maple Leafs are going to look for, you know, for lack of a better term, Clifford-type players for the fourth line. I do think that's something they're interested in. I do wonder if it's number. Because, you know, I like the way he played in the playoffs. I thought he really brought something. So usually that is the situation, but it's going to be a squeeze. So I would suggest it's something like that. Yes.
Elsewhere, Peter Laviolette in Washington, and there was some chatter on Twitter, which is always a dangerous hole to go down. I understand, because it doesn't necessarily reflect the broader scope of things. But there was some chatter on Twitter, the joke about the recycling of the coach. And yet I look at it and I say, Laviolette went to Long Island and turned that ship around in the early 2000s. Laviolette went to Carolina. They won a cup. Laviolette went to Philadelphia when things were a train wreck there. A year and a half later, they were in the Stanley Cup final. Laviolette went to Nashville, took over a good team under Barry Trotz, took them to the Stanley Cup final. This guy has a quick trigger on making things better. He might not have a long shelf life, but he makes things better in the near term. I think this is a great hire for the Caps. Don't you?
Yes. I blame this jokingly on Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart created the Daily Show as at times very funny and biting, but sarcastic and cynical. And I think it's created a generation of people that think that that's the way to go, especially on social media. So it's easier to go out and say recycled than really look at the facts. I'm with you on this. You know, he's taken three teams to the Stanley Cup final. He's won a Stanley Cup. I mean, how many coaches have been with three different teams at the Stanley Cup final? And we're not talking ancient history. You know, we're talking within 14 years, and the last one was 3 years ago. I think it's a really good hire. I think he's exactly what they need, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but I don't think you can fault the decision.
Stanley Cup finals are finally here. I didn't think we'd get here. I didn't even think I was questioning the bubble, not so much from a health standpoint. I was, and getting the whole operation up and running, I was concerned about the players actually entering the bubble, and I thought there'd be a lot more players like Rask leaving or not wanting to be in the bubble, but here we are. Who do you have as the favorite, Elliot?
Well, I'll tell you this. I picked Dallas at the beginning of the year, and I have a rule, Mike, that when the team I pick at the beginning of the year is still alive, I have to stay with them until they're eliminated. Now, usually it's much sooner than this. So this is different for me to actually have a potentially successful prediction. I'm picking Dallas. And as for the favorite, based on everything they've done all year in this crazy, insane 2020, you'd probably have to say Tampa Bay, but they're really beaten up. Like, you know, you can see Point is hanging on, and all credit to him. You know, like, this is a guy who clearly is not well. He's gutting it out, and he's playing hard, and he played well last night. I think the Dallas rest, where's the biggest advantage Tampa has? It's in goal. Kudobin's on the run of his life, but, you know, Vasilevsky won the Vezina last year, and he is, you know, he kind of has looked shaky here and there, but I think if you put them head to head, you'd probably give Vasilevsky the edge. But Dallas is going to be rested. I really think the Lightning, I think this series took a physical toll on them. I think it's the biggest question I have on them going forward. So I would probably give a slight edge to Tampa, but it's not as big as if, for example, they'd met in the first round of the playoffs. I think Dallas is really going. I like the way they play. I think they remind me a lot of St. Louis, and I honestly think I have a chance of getting my prediction right for a change.
Elliot, any hope for Stamkos to play?
I think it's unlikely. You know, I know that today Cooper will get asked about it. He usually addresses it between every round, but I think it's unlikely. I really do.
Thank you.
Real shame.
No,
real
it is.
Shame.
It is. And it. I mean, it, if they win the Stanley Cup, it doesn't take anything away from the size of the ring on his finger. It'll fit just the same.
Yeah.
But there's a guy. If there's a guy who deserves to be out there on the ice and active when his team wins the Stanley Cup, Steven Stamkos is it. I mean, it's,
you know, you think about it, Scott. If that happens, here's a guy who will have an Olympic gold medal. They made him one and gave him one, even though he broke his leg and couldn't play. And would have a Stanley Cup ring, even though he had core surgery and couldn't play. I mean, it's amazing to think about. A guy who was going to be part of two teams that could win, or did win if they do win the championship, and, you know, won it as a member of the team but was injured and couldn't perform in either. I don't know if that's ever happened before.
Yeah, and I mean, he's 30 years old, so he could win again. He's on a pretty good team and be active for it, but... still, it's kind of sad in the moment for a guy who's been a great ambassador for the sport for more than a decade.